said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather round your radio now for
QZ, Ed, and Aaron.
Off air, uncut.
QZ, Ed, and Aaron, the podcast, and Katie Lanbrook is joining us. And of all the times we've done this, Katie, I don't think I've ever seen Hughesy more pumped up for a guest.
He's, I know, because I barrack for this guy because I love him as an actor and a bloke.
Person.
And he's been a legend for a long time, but he's never been in a $2 billion film.
Who has?
Not many.
Not many.
He joins us all the way from London. Brendan Cowell, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, g'day, guys. Good to be inside the podcast and lovely to be with you guys, my favourites.
Now, when we're recording this, it's almost 10 p.m. London time. What was your day today in London, Brendan?
10 p.m. is right when I have my sleepy time bedtime tea around now, which I know you guys know. That's my – with the fennel in it just to drift off.
And the Valerian root.
And the Valerian root, all the Valerian root that you can get, and gets you that nice 7 hours. No, I did a bit of a fitness class today, and then I cooked myself a puttanesca, and then I did some writing. I'm writing that apparently is the whore's pasta, but You would little know whore. This, Kate, because you lived in that country.
I thought you were going to say because I'm a little whore.
No. I met with you in Italy, so I know that you would know these things because we hung out over there. So
we did, and you were on your way.
Wonderful memories.
Brendan was on his way to go to New Zealand to start shooting Avatar, and it was when everyone was doing quarantine, remember? And you were just a little concerned about how you would do the 2 weeks in quarantine because you were off the booze as well, which has changed your life, has it not?
Yeah, well, it's definitely – life is a lot more relaxing. Definitely off the booze, you know, without the kind of all the ups and downs of the hangovers and – where did I leave my jacket and my wallet and, you know, well, I might not look at that text message, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, no, it's fantastic. I've loved it. But, nearly 4 years now I haven't had a drink. And I guess the career's going well, so it's got to probably have something to do with that, you know.
Well, that happened for Hughesy when he stopped drinking.
30 years for me, so, 4 years, still a massive effort. So, well done, mate. So it means quiet nights. It means how do you – so what do you do to celebrate the success of something like Avatar? Is there anything you do to go, this is how I'm going to celebrate?
Well, you just feel it, don't you? I mean, that's the difference with not drinking is you feel everything and so, I it was funny, like my best mate, Johnny, we were on the way to the premiere in Leicester Square in London and, you know, this amazing BMW pulls out with these seats that kind of massage you and stuff. And just as we're arriving at Leicester Square, like the guy on the microphone's like, we've got Brendan Cowell. Are you ready to engage with Brendan? Are you set to engage? And like we got out of the car and like this huge bodyguard comes in behind me and goes, I've engaged with Brendan. I am walking with Brendan towards the blue carpet. And I was like, dude, I've walked across Leicester Square like 1,000 times in the last 7 years. No, it's been fine. And then as we got, he's going, I am ready to engage. Are you ready to engage on the... And as I got to the blue carpet, I thought, am I going to war here? Am I going to have to kill somebody? Like, what's going on? And then you go onto this huge blue carpet and all of a sudden, you know, there's 200 people. You know, I was first of the 30 people on the blue carpet, so I think they'll get me out of the way because they're like, who's this guy? But all of a sudden they're like, you're on Good Morning America. We've got Brendan on Good Morning America. I'm like, Good Morning America.
Good morning, America.
You know,
how are you?
Yeah, good morning, America. You're on Hello, LA. Like, Hello, LA. And it was just surreal. But I was there with my best mate, who I've known since I was 13, and he produces my stuff. And it was just, I just felt it, you know. I was just, and I gave Jim a big hug up on the stage. And
Jim Cameron, for people who don't know.
Yeah,
I just stood up there and went, you know, I started doing drama and, in year seven at school, you know, and writing little silly plays and making mum and nan watch them. And here I am on this stage. You just feel it.
I lived in Sydney.
That's what you can kind of get when you're sober, you know.
I'm a little bit younger than you, Brendan, but growing up in Sydney and starting out in the arts sort of world, I remember very clearly at uni going to see your shows, you know, at the various theatres around
that's
town.
Right.
Small pub, you know, not pubs, but theatres in pubs and Belvoir Street.
Yeah.
You know, and they were great, and they obviously always got really good, you know, critical responses, and audiences went, and then you got to be able to make films. But to see you just nailing it in the $2 billion film, it's fantastic, and a real, you know, a proof in the pudding again of the local Sydney art scenes
and a theatre actor,
incubating qualities.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's it, Caden. I was playing Galileo when the casting director saw me play
Galileo.
Exactly. That's it. And that's how I did it. That's exactly how I did it.
For 3 hours.
In the show. For 3 hours. And I did another play called Yerma that Simon Stone, who's an Australian director,
my goodness.
And that got me in Game of Thrones. So all the success I've had has come from my stage work, and that's what I'm really proud of. I didn't line up in LA and get the muscles and eat broccoli and network. You know what I mean? Like really good work. I did what I love, which is, you know, acting on stage, and this stuff's come off the back of it. It definitely wasn't the plan, but I remember auditioning for Jim, and I went into his office, and there's bits of the Titanic in the office and all this history of cinema, and he said, you know, Brandon, you know, is this the kind of movie you'd like to work on? Like, is this something you'd like to engage with?
Wow,
No, man, I just want to concentrate on short films in Australia. Like, what are you talking about?
Being into TikTok right now?
No. What?
Yeah, so was it on day-to-day, how many days, was it 3 months, or how long were you in New Zealand working on these films?
Well, it was nearly 3 years. I kind of did three.
Wow.
I did three. The fact that I don't come into the movie till nearly 2 hours, it's like it took 3 years to do that. But I did like 6 month chunks, and one of them I sat out for quite a lot because I couldn't leave the country, of course, and it was quite lonely, you know, because I couldn't fly mum in and all that sort of stuff because of lockdown. And but I kind of had like 3, 4, 5 month, you know, stretches in Wellington and on live action sets, because they'd shot the motion capture in LA and then we shot the live action on the big sets. And then they kind of put the two, you know, Jim invents this technology that you kind of put the two films together.
How's his head? His tech head is just incredible, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And that, you know, acting's pretty much the only department he can't do better than everyone. You know what I mean? Like he and I think that's why he respects us, you know, when he gives you five notes and you do it. He's like, how did you do that? And you're like, I don't know, I'm just an actor, you know, I jumped over there and said the thing. But he, you know, he can paint the sets, he can edit, he invented the 8 different computer systems. He built the boat. Mm. He knows all the specs on the boat. Mm. He's lived on the boat. You know, like everything is his, everything. And you meet him and you kind of go, it would be great if you could live to 300. Like, it would be great if Jim Cameron could.
He's packed a lot in already.
Yeah.
You know, for some dude who's just sitting on the couch in his 30s playing Halo 6, you know, you go, fuck, it'd be great if Jim could have your go as well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like,
He's got so much in his head. He's got so much life force, and it's amazing to be around, you know.
As you do too, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Kate. Yeah, I guess I do. I've always and we get on in that. We've got the same birthday, Jim and I, so we kind of, you know, have a bit of that. Let's just – and I think that's what he likes about the Aussies, jump in and have a crack.
He loves the Aussies. And Sam Worthington hadn't seen the film when I interviewed him. It was just before the premiere. So were you – and I imagine you didn't see it till the premiere either. And were you – I mean, you had a big part in the movie, but I imagine it's a worry that you're going to end up on the editing room floor. Were you really happy with how big your part was?
Yeah, I mean, I've been around the block, and so I've been cut out of movies before or cut down, and, you know, and I've invited the whole family and they're like, where were you? You know, you know, so I'm pretty not cynical, because the whole aim of being an actor is staying alive without becoming cynical, because once you're cynical or bitter, you're dead in this game.
Yeah,
and so you have to stay positive, you know, and you have to give everything. And but I remember, you know, we had a joint birthday party where he gave me this amazing Mulry artifact, and Jim said, you know, Brendan, I've been trying to cut you out of the movie since I saw your performance, but you do the bad thing in the film. You know, so I can't cut you out because you do the bad thing. Anyway, happy birthday. And that was kind of our sense of humor together, because he loves that Aussies can take the joke, you know.
Yes.
But I always had I knew I'd be in it because that has to happen. But there was a couple of bits that were probably a bit darker where I improvised a bit that didn't make the cut because they were probably, you know, and there was some other stuff. But I've got some really, really beautiful scenes in the next part as well. So I'm
hey, Brendan,
yeah,
you know good. How you were talking about how you couldn't see your mum for that period when you're in lockdown and filming in New Zealand and stuff. But did you get to see the movie with your mum? And because you haven't.
No, they all went to see it in Sydney. I insisted that they see the 3D, but I think they just went to the Dendy. But I said, you've got to get the glasses. You know, you've got to get the glass. You need the glasses.
Yeah, you want the souvenir glasses.
Isn't it amazing that you've got all this technology and then you to make a movie, then when you get to the door, they go, put these cardboard glasses on, mate. And you're like, what? surely you've worked that out. I've got to wear cardboard glasses now you've done all this stuff. But, yeah, no, it's probably not mum's. Mum's more of an art house movie lady, but she just loved it. And I think, you know, he's got such
mate,
an environmental
it held
message.
Everyone. My children, I've got children who are like,
it's true.
My wife loved it. My children, 13, 11, and 10, held the whole way through and they bloody loved it. It's like
Peter
three
loved
and a half
it.
Hours.
Peter loved it, and he's not a lover of those
did Peter
films
love it?
Generally. He loved it. Loved it. Hey, and also, is your nan who helped you in the audition process by, you know, invoking the power that you needed, was that your mum's mum?
Yeah. Yeah, my mum's mum, yeah. So she died around the period I was auditioning. And that kind of gave me the M&M kind of mic drop moment of just going, it doesn't matter. Like, this doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's
it
just,
doesn't
you
matter.
Know, and
here we go.
Often,
this doesn't matter.
It here doesn't matter. And, and when you're intimidated by something, you often don't, you're not present, you're not breathing, and you're so trying to impress people. That you just do this horrible acting of like, please,
so
please.
True.
And then when you're just on breath and you're listening and you're present, that's when I could start really playing. And that's when I found the Scoresby thing that was like, because I said to Jim one night when we had, you know, a vegan degustation, I said, you know, I said, why did you cast me, man? I'm not fishing, but I know you could have kind of had
anyone,
you know, beardy bloke.
Of course.
And he goes, well, a lot of guys auditioned and, he goes, and they played him very bad, whereas you came in and he goes, you just looked like you really enjoyed your work.
There it is. And there it is.
And that's kind of what I brought to it, was like, Scoresby isn't a bad guy in his mind. This is just what he does. This is what he was brought up in, and he loves being out there and he loves his quotas. You know, he's got his quotas and he's going to get his quotas and, I'm going to have a ball. Like the wind in the hair was what Jim talked about. Like he, you know, the Moby Dick frontier aspect. So I just tried to concentrate on that rather than being the bad guy. If you know what I mean?
That's great.
Brendan
Cowell. See the work in Avatar Way of Water in cinemas now and the next one coming up. Brendan Cowell.
Oh, yeah, he's going to end up in two of the top 10 movies of all time.
All time, baby. Thank
you. And beyond.
And beyond. Of course, beyond.
Yes.
Beyond.
Thank you, Mr. Cowell.
Thank you so much, guys.